What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 228, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on, man?
Well, just trying to say cool, man. It's hot, but I'm ready to podcast. I was up too late last night. And like, I swear, 20 minutes before this, I was like, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing the podcast. And my wife was like, you've never said that. I was like, I know. I just want to go lay down. But now that I'm here and like I've got my screens in front of me and everything's good to go, I'm ready. So,
yeah, you look like you're in a different orientation than what we
do. Yeah, usually my camera was to my right a little bit on a monitor. I shifted it a bit. I think it's going to provide a little better background.
I do need to find like an ideal place for this. Well, I eventually want to replace this webcam with like an actual camera.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm headed.
But I haven't figured it out. And just right now, the best place, of course, is on top of the monitor. But I still feel like you can't see me the way that I'd want, per se. But yeah, how's things out your way? We have gone backwards as far as the good old coronavirus.
Yeah, we've had record numbers. So
yeah. Yeah, same here. And they at least in the state of Pennsylvania, they mandated wearing a mask in any public place now. That was just today. So that's fine.
Yeah, ours goes into effect, I think, like 12 a.m. on Friday. But a lot of they're kind of leaving it up, I think, to the counties to decide whether it's like enforced or not. And a lot of them have said we're not going to enforce it. And I kind of get that in some ways. It's like trying to enforce like seatbelts being, all those crazy laws that are too impossible to catch everyone. But I think at least the recommendation and request to do it is a good step. So,
yeah, they shut down the bars here immediately after, I guess, the first couple of days of everything too. So it's just been interesting. And I think that if you do go out, you can see that the hysteria has set in because it's like people can't drive. Nobody knows what they're doing. It's like back to a couple months ago, it seems And we're not even like fully in shutdown mode, but it just seems like we're back there. So I'm happy to be inside away from people and doing the podcast.
I don't want to be outside right now. It's like 100 and something with a
110
heat index. So like,
and then it gets to the wintertime and you're like, I'd rather have the heat, I feel.
Nah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the wintertime.
All right. Well, this is, of course, a tech podcast, and we'll get to some cool tech. So I finally got my review up of the Asus ROG Strix B550F Gaming. And this... of course, the biggest thing, I have to share my screen. I always forget that.
Gotta do that.
The biggest thing with D550 is that, you're basically getting Gen 4 speeds on your top PCI Express slot in an M.2 slot without having the X570 chipset, without the more expensive motherboards. That's kind of what a lot of people were waiting for. Yeah. Because it really didn't make sense to go Ryzen 3000 unless you were getting X570, because the big draw for a lot of people is Gen 4 speeds, especially in the storage space, going from a max of 3,500 megabytes a second on a Gen 3 drive to it starting at 5,000. And a lot of the newer drives you're going to see come out this year will be 6,000-7,000 megabytes per second. Is a big jump, and it's great for storage nerds like me. And people who want really fast storage for, say, video editing and, of course, game loading and things like that.
I know. I'm running an X570 board with a Gen 3 drive in it. And it was, I just bought it. There weren't a ton of Gen 4 drives out at the time. So at some point, I know I'll upgrade and I'll just throw that other drive in another slot and, just have some extra fast storage. So,
So with B552... the big thing you're going to see in a lot of motherboards is that they're going to have better VRM designs just to support the higher core and the more power hungry Ryzen 3000 series processors. So with this one on the previous board, you got a 4+4. Now you have a 12+2 on this, which I think is a huge upgrade. Yeah. This board had no problem with our Ryzen 9 3900X, I'm going way too far in the review here. The Ryzen 9 3900X, we overclocked it, no problem either. The overclock was only 100 megahertz below our overclock on an X570 board, which I think is really impressive. It kind of goes to show, you know, they've really, and we didn't have any, you know, overheating issues on the VRM or anything like that. So they've really done a great job with that in respects to, of course, supporting these CPUs, because again, B550 is a mid-range chipset. So even, I mean, I read reviews where it can handle the 3950X and overclocking that, which is really good. So you have that, those upgrades there. Another big upgrade on this board from the previous generation, or the B450 version, is that both M.2 slots now have cooling. This is great, of course, for the cooling factor, but also for the factor of, you know, keeping your board looking good or cool or whatever. You're going to have the same, you know, design here. So, you know, if you don't have that, you kind of have, if you buy two of the same, it might look all right. But if you buy different M.2 drives, they're kind of just going to like...
Yeah, and they're kind of, I don't want to call it ugly, right, without a heat sink on them, but unless you have something like the SN750 that has a nice EK designed heat sink, or one of the Sabrent drives with the heat pipes, this is nice that you can cool them down. And yeah, like you said, they're going to look the same and look good there. So that is nice.
Yeah. So then as far as feature goes, and comparing it to other B550 boards, you get USB 3.2 Gen 2 on the rear IO. You don't have the internal header. The gaming dash E board has that, but you do have it here. You have two of them. You have a Type-C and a Type-A, which is nice, of course, for super fast storage there. You also are going to get 2.5 gig LAN and Wi-Fi 6. So no matter if you're plugging in or if you're going wireless, you're going to have very fast speeds there. So those are some really higher end features that you wouldn't normally get, say, like on a, you know, on a lower end B550 board. This board is specifically designed for single graphics cards. So you have your PCI Express 3.0 X16 slot, or PCI Express 4.0 X16 slot right here. And then this is an X4 slot, which is Gen 3. So again, single graphics card, not a big deal to me, because I think most people are running a single graphics card these days. The E-E board will give you two X16 slots. If you want to do multi-graphic stuff. So that's kind of how the two boards are a little bit different. That one has a few other features that this one doesn't, but I think overall it is a really good board. One thing I was a little surprised about was the actual RGB lighting. So the only thing that lights up is this ROG logo right here.
So you that red there isn't a light. It's just like reflective or painted.
Yeah. It's just reflective.
I've interesting.
Yeah, so
I guess that makes sense since it's not plugged in.
Yeah, and again, there's not like any RGB lighting around, you know, the chipset heatsink or anything like that.
It's got some headers at the bottom there, though, right?
Yeah, you have two headers here. Mm-hmm. Oops, two headers at the bottom there, and then you have, I believe, two at the top, or one at the top. So you can, of course, add extra RGB lighting. But it, like I said, it's a good board. I think they give you a lot of value for what you're getting. Really quick, Paul is in the chat. He said, "Hey guys, what is up, man?" What did I think I gave it a 9 out of 10. Yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $209.99. There is a non-Wi-Fi version, which is $189. I think the price is good for what you're getting. You're getting a lot of features that you would have in X570. The performance is on par. It traded blows with some of the X570 boards that we reviewed. You know, the only real reason to go X570 is specific features. You're going to get more USB 3.2 Gen 2 support. You're going to, all of your PCI Express slots are going to be Gen 4. All of your M.2 slots are going to be Gen 4. If, you know, you're only going to run one M.2 slot, that's all you need. Obviously single graphics card.
I would definitely go with a B550 board if I was building that. Like if I would have not built my system in the fall and was building now, I would definitely go with a B550 board because, well, I say that, I would probably highly consider going with a B550 board just because I know I'm not gonna need and realistically use, right? I always overbuy, or it's nice to have that headroom to expand. Mm-hmm. But man, if budget is a major factor for you and you just don't think you're gonna take use of some of those extra features, yeah, B550 is great.
Yeah, and again, these boards, at least this ASUS board that we're looking at today, it can handle the higher core count processors. It's great at overclocking. It supports high frequency. I think it's 4400 megahertz XMP profiles. You know, it has everything you want. The only downsides, like I said, not a whole lot of RGB for an ROG board. That's just my opinion. Also, their software. So I love the Armory Crate. If you don't know what that is the piece of software that you would actually pre-install when you install Windows. You don't even have to go to their website. It just does it, which I think is really cool. But there's AI Suites. And I'm sure if you've had an ASUS board for the past, what? I don't know
how forever.
Yeah, at least the past 10, maybe I'm going to say 10. That's a good guess. At least the last 10 years, you know what AI Suite is. That's your motherboard control software. We've had AI Suite 3 for way too long, and there just needs to be an update. It just looks dated at this point, and I think that ASUS was kind of like the pioneer in motherboard companion software. They're one of the first ones to do it and one of the first ones to do it well. I wish they would bake AI Suite into Armory Crate somehow. They already put Aura Sync into Armory Crate, and it would just be great that if we have an updated version of AI Suite that's in the whole Armory Crate thing.
I'm gonna have to look at this Armory Crate. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
So the motherboard itself, it's like if you've ever gotten a new Razer product, uh-huh. As soon as you plug in that USB, it will ask to install software, which of course for a lot of beginners is great, because like, if you don't know what you're doing, right? Yeah. A lot of times you don't know that you have to go and download drivers it's for things to work. Like a lot of the motherboards, the Wi-Fi is not going to work. Like certain things aren't going to work unless you install drivers. So what this does is it installs this application called Armory Crate that has all of your, it will automatically download all your drivers, blah, blah, blah. It will do everything. And I actually go over this in my BIOS video that I did on this, is that you can disable that, because I know a lot of people are like privacy people.
Sure.
And they're not a fan of something installing something. You can turn it off in the BIOS if you want, but I think it's great. And it just makes it so much easier to get all your drivers at once. And I think everybody does it now, but there's a few that don't. I'm not sure if ASRock does too. I think everybody has like a downloader now for all their drivers, because I hate going to the website, okay, here's the audio driver, here's the chipset driver, here's this, and this. It's good. So this is a great board. I would highly recommend this board if you're, again, one Gen 4 M.2 single graphics card. You can do some great overclocking with it. It is an ROG board, so you have it comes with their networking software, which is great for optimizing games, speeds when it comes to networking. It has a lot of cool stuff. Of course, you get really fast Wi-Fi as well. So definitely check out our review of that. And then we have a completely opposite product that doesn't even go in your computer. But I think it's a product that we're going to definitely have a discussion about, because I was super excited for it. I immediately, when Corsair reached out and was like, here's our new thing, I was like, yes, I want this. It's going to look great. And then I was slightly disappointed, and we'll tell you why. These are the Corsair IQ LT100 smart lighting towers. So we've seen RGB strips. We've seen like RGB fans. Of course, we have RGB and everything inside of our computer. But outside of our computer, we are limited to I can see it in your reflection, your Nano Leaf. We have RGB strips. There hasn't really been, and we have RGB bulbs.
Obviously, stuff in your computer already. Light strips, right, that you control with
the remote
or whatever.
But these are a little bit different. So these are actual towers that are basically a tower with an RGB strip in them. So they kind of look like this. This is the starter kit, and it comes with two towers. Obviously, being an IQ product, it works with Corsair IQ. It's into their ecosystem. Even the the connections, just like Corsair connections, are proprietary. You can't connect a normal, you know, RGB header to this and control it with something else. But this is basically what it is. It's RGB towers that are meant to be sat on your desk. And again, in theory, this is good. You know, I think in theory, this is a good idea. It's super easy to put them together. I got them set up in no time. You know, here's a picture of my setup with them. You can kind of see what they do. Obviously, adding some pretty cool backlighting. And of course, the bases light up too, which is pretty cool. So the actual bases of these light up. So they're almost like, you know, you've seen those headset stands.
Yep.
That's,
I mean, Corsair makes one.
Yeah. Right? It's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of a mix of a headset stand with RGB lighting going up on it. You know, here's the at nighttime, you can see it looks, you know, even better, I would say.
Now, how many come in a kit?
Two. So the setup I have comes with the expansion kit. And the pricing, I believe, I have to look it up, but it's not cheap. They're not cheap per se. But so again, here's three of them. You can see how they light up the back, you know, my wall. That's kind of how my setup was, kind of like that, because these also feature a screen mode or an ambient mode where they can react to what's going on your screen, which makes movies and games more immersive. And I think that that's awesome. I love that.
I need to see this in real life, because I've never experienced that. And so I don't have anything to gauge it with. You think you'd like it? Do you like that feature?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It makes, you know, it makes just everything that's, it just makes it more immersive. It's kind of hard to explain. I wouldn't say as much in games, but more viewing media, it does.
Okay.
Which is really cool. We have Tech Lovin' Mama in the chat. She said, hi, new to joining your podcast, popping in to say hi. Well, hello. Thanks for joining us in the live stream. But the cool thing about this screen mode, and I haven't seen this before, we reviewed another product that had this feature, but it kind of just did it automatically. This one in the screen mode allows you to set the adjustment where each tower is specifically on your screen. So these boxes that you see, you can adjust them. You can make them bigger or smaller. And I think this is really cool, because for me on my ultra wide, I play games in the center of the screen. I don't do the full ultra wide. So I can move these so it, you know, it's set to my playing area, which I think is really cool. That's something really cool. So this is like super easy to set up too. It's really the IQ software, for as much as people complain about it, super easy to set up all of your lighting features and kind of do all of that. Their list of predefined effects is huge. You can, of course, link this with all of your other RGB or Corsair RGB elements. So I had it linked with, you know, what's going on in my case, and that was pretty cool.
The ability to orient them like horizontally?
No.
I mean, would it ever make sense? I don't know if it would ever make sense to do that. I was just thinking, if you had them behind your monitor and they were sideways, to take more advantage of that.
The thing is that the RGB strips connect at the base, so you could never take the base off of these, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
One other thing that's really great about this is that each one of these bubbles, if you guys can see, is an RGB LED, and you can select as many as you want. You can do them individually, so you have individually adjustable RGB LEDs, which means you can get incredibly creative with different effects and things like that. So that's really cool as well. So just to show you guys some pictures of, you know, just some solid colors, like, it looks really good. I think provides a good amount of light, you know. And then here's that ambience going on. I was just playing a video on YouTube full screen, and you can kind of see the different colors based on obviously what's going on the screen. Works flawlessly. I didn't have any issues with this working, right? And, you know, here's my setup without them, and here's my setup with them. I think it looks much better, right? Mm-hmm. Without and with. It looks really good. But then I'm like, these just don't seem that bright.
Okay.
They just don't. Yeah. So here's them again, same pitcher, same everything. And here's an RGB strip kit that I have.
That's a pretty big difference.
And you see the coverage that I get with RGB strips. Now, granted, these RGB...
No, I was going to say you've got the RGB strips along kind of framing the back of your monitor, right?
Yeah, so the RGB strips are on the back of my monitor, and they've been there for a year. That's this kit that I reviewed. And these RGB strips are the NZXT Hue 2s. They offer the same ambient mode pretty much. The software, I would say, is not as good as Corsair software, but I feel they give much better coverage. I mean, if you just look at it, the difference in coverage that they give is far better. Now, if we go back to our second page here and you look at these do have a diffuser on them, which I don't know if that was the best decision, because obviously that cuts down the brightness of these. So again, it's just, for me, it's like, one, it's, this is obviously much brighter than that. Two is that this is far less cluttered than this, because you don't have these towers in your way. You have nothing. You know, you just have what's on the desk already.
I'm glad that you can, that the bases, though, at least light up, because I like that glow around them. Now, is that configurable? They're individually addressable as well. You can configure them separate from the towers or...
Yeah, so when you go in, as I showed, like the software, you can click just this and just make it whatever. Yeah, just make it whatever you want. But again, this is, for me, I try to have as not a whole lot of things on my desk, and this is far less cluttered than this. So just keep that in mind there. And then we'll get to the pricing, which I have here on the last page. So the base kit is $129.99. That's with two towers.
Okay.
And then the expansion kit is $59.99 for one per tower. And you can only do four towers.
Okay. The daisy chain then?
Yeah, they daisy chain. The NZXT Hue 2, which was on the back of my monitor, is $49.99 right now.
Yeah, that's a tough
that's
sell.
That's a very tough sell for me. These are also limited to where you can put them, because they have to be put on a desk. Mm-hmm. They can't go on the back of anything. They can't go on the bottom of my computer. They can't go inside my computer. They can't go on the bottom of my desk. You know, there's just, it's very limited. They're not as bright and they're far more expensive. So for me, it was a 7 out of 10. I usually don't give ratings that low, but it was just kind of, as I put it in my review, it was kind of a swing and a miss. It was just like,
I feel like it's a very specific, like, I don't know, use case for these maybe. Because you're not using like the comparison between these and that NZXT kit, right? Like it's almost night and day difference with the amount of light that gets put out by these. So they do look nice, right? And I've seen some people who had them turned around so the lights were actually facing you. I don't know how bright that would be, you know, and distracting. So maybe that look is a little different and you get that option, and they're a clean look when you do that. Right, I think. But yeah, that price is just pretty high.
And they do with the base kit, it does come with a headset holder. It's plastic, it's nothing great. You do get that option as well. You know what I mean? But it's just, again, I mean, if this was the only if this was the only product out there, yeah, sure. But there's alternatives that are far less expensive, and that's just why I was kind of just, I tested them and I was like, I'm going back to the NZXT because it's just better performance. And obviously, I don't like a lot of clutter on my desk. And, you know, it's, you know, again, I don't have any towers in my way blocking my view. You know what I mean? It's just, you know. So yeah, that's just, like I said, I gave it a 7 out of 10. You guys can check them out. Corsair was pretty hyped up about these. I just think that, and again, Corsair makes RGB strips that can go on the back of your monitor. So something to think about, but check out the review. I go kind of into detail on why I would suggest something else over those. So yeah. Also, this week, we, of course, have Case Mod Friday. And that is where we, of course, feature a build or mod that's been done in the community. And this week, we have a build from Sneff. And we haven't featured one of his builds, I think.
Not in a while.
Yeah, at least a while. If you know him, you know his style. And this build follows his style. This is themed after Rainbow Six Siege, which I've never... I think I've played maybe the original game, which I don't know how long ago that was, but
I do know I'm pretty sure it's on sale in the Steam sale, so it might be a good time to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was never into Rainbow Six, but this is, I would take this build. I mean,
sure.
This is done inside of the Thermaltake View 51 Snow Edition, which is a decently big case. Obviously, you can see the color design is white, yellow, and black, and I think it goes very well. EK water cooling for the most part. You do have some custom res and some distro plates and things like that, which I think look really good as well. Obviously, you have the custom res in the front.
I mean, look at all the custom IO shield, right, with all the white with the cutouts,
yeah,
for the Rainbow Six Siege. The water block on the CPUs got all that custom work there. I mean, the little Rainbow Six above that back distro plate that's almost hidden by the radiator and everything, but still is there. Just all these little details.
He has the distro plate at the bottom, which looks really cool. I love the cable combs. What are those things called? Yeah, the cable combs and everything, how they kind of all go together. I like the lines in the case. It's very functional. I didn't even notice this in the front here. There's the gun for Rainbow Six,
and it's in a six. I mean, that's the Rainbow Six logo.
Oh wow, that's cool. I didn't even notice that initially. So a lot of really cool stuff. Sneff does really good stuff. If you've seen any of his builds in the past.
I have no idea what that ball is, though, because I haven't played it. Is that like a bomb from the game? Or
that's something from the game. I was reading his post when he did this, and he was talking about it. It's part of the game, but I've never played the game, so I can't tell you what that is. But yeah, just a really cool build.
The T-Force memory looks good in there, too.
Yeah, T-Force memory does look really good. And it's kind of like, I don't know how close this is to the memory, but I think it kind of goes down, like it's right over it. So
it's cool because it goes into that valley that those RGB lights on there have. So very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool stuff there. So we have Wyatt in the chat. He says, hi, what is going on? We appreciate everybody in the live chat. And if you guys do want to follow along in what we're going to be talking about, we do have our full show notes page that is listed in the description of the video. So if you're like, oh, I want to see more of that build, or I want to go on these articles myself, it's all right here. It's live on the site. You guys can check that out. Also, something you might want to check out if you are new here is that we have a contest going on to win some Corsair Dominator Platinum RGB memory. It is the newly released white version of these, which look excellent, especially if you're doing a white build or you have a white case, or I mean they'll go in anything, but these just look so awesome. And of course it's Dominator Platinum, which is Corsair's flagship memory, hand selected ICs. I think these have 10-year warranty, like they're just the best of the best. So we're giving away a 32 gigabyte kit, 8 days left on this. So easy to enter. We do the whole thing on Gleam, so definitely get your entry in. Also, for everybody listening to the podcast, after this contest is over, we are going to be giving away that Asus ROG B550 motherboard. So they sent us two. They sent us two for one to give away. So we'd be giving a brand new one, not even the one I reviewed, just a brand new one. So we'll have that for you announced in about 8 days. So definitely stay tuned for that one as well. So got some good contests coming out.
It's awesome.
You know, I feel that many people might be getting stuck in their houses again. So do give something away so you guys can go ahead and do a build. So pretty excited for that. So on to news. So not a whole lot going on. It's kind of like we had some big news, and now
we had so much stuff. Like rumor and Intel stuff, NVIDIA, AMD. And I was looking at these show notes. I'm like, where's all our rumors? And
we do have some cool stuff. At least,
definitely.
Yeah. But first is that leaked images of NZXT's N7 Z490 motherboard has been. Like I said, these are renders.
I gotta be honest. I forgot that they were. I thought that they had stopped making motherboards. They had that first one that they made, and then I feel like just disappeared.
Well, the thing is that they were, of course, a Intel only, and we haven't had a new Intel chipset for a while. So we did review the N70 Z390. I took that home from CES 2 years ago.
I was going to say, you got that at CES. Yep.
Yeah, so I think these previously, these boards were made by BioStar, and they were decent. I think they look excellent inside of NZXT.
I think that's where they really shine, is in an NZXT case.
Of course, NZXT has their build or BLD service that will, of course, build you a custom PC. These, of course, make perfect sense for them to do it. The shrouds and stuff, I think, are great. They are fully removable, which is awesome for modders as well. So you can take this off, paint it, you can engrave it, you can cut it, you can do whatever you want with it, which is kind of nice. Looking at this, I'm not super excited. Of course, the Z490 isn't something to be super excited about. It looks like we'll probably get Wi-Fi 6, I'm guessing, just by looking at this. I don't see a ton of USB ports, but there is some, you know. And of course, with Z490, of course, you have an X16 and an X4.
They've got buttons at the bottom, which is always nice.
Yeah. A bunch of...
Those buttons remind me of Asus buttons.
They do.
I'm looking at mine in my case. I don't think that Asus is partnering with them on this, but they just remind me of those.
That's the thing we don't know about this board, is that we don't know who's actually making it. Because obviously NZXT is not making this. Last time it was BioStar. I assume that's who's going to do it again. Right? Well, they look cool. Again, USB 3.2 Gen 2 internal header, which is good to see. That's pretty much, I don't know. These don't really excite me anymore. When they first came out, I kind of thought they were cool. But compared to what's out there, I don't know the price of these, but compared to what's out there, I think you do get some better options from, say, like Asus, MSI, Gigabyte. So we will see on that. Obviously, no word on that. Those were just renders that were kind of leaked out. We don't know when the motherboards will be available. But usually with that stuff, it does come out later. They usually don't launch when, of course, the chipset launched, which was what? A month and a half ago?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yeah. So moving from that to monitors, Acer announced their new Predator X25 gaming monitor. The big thing with this is that it is 360 hertz refresh rate.
All of them. It's crazy.
Yeah. We visited NVIDIA at CES, and were those two? Those were 360 as well.
Did they have one up to 360?
Oh, no, they only had 240.
240, I thought. Yeah.
And we had the chance to game at 60, 144, and 240.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And to see the difference. And we could, or no, I think it was even 140. We only did 144 and 240. Maybe.
Well, they had the FPS, you know, like the Counter-Strike tests, which I swear was like 60 and then 144, maybe, or maybe it was something. And then they had the scrolling where they could do like 60, 144, 240, I think.
Yeah. So I think I always say that we're going to get like a standard of 144 hertz, but I just don't see it yet. But 360 is awesome. Again, when we did that test, it is, you can tell a difference. I know people like to say, oh, you don't, you know. Well,
I think there's a difference in your results, but I don't think you can see the difference, like, oh, there's right. a definite image quality or smoothness to it, but your body can react to the difference and your results improve, if that makes sense. Because if you're just watching it and looking at it, you're like, ah, you know, whatever. But when you're actually going through these side-by-side tests, you do perform better on the higher performance equipment. So, yeah, it's been shown to do it, and we've demonstrated that.
Yeah. I was going to say, they will be... They'll start at $1,100, which kind of seems... That seems about right.
Now, is that... Okay, so this is the X25, and then they also have another larger one. Do we know what the... Okay, so it is a 1080p.
All right. Yeah, 1080p. Yeah.
Okay. I figured.
So yeah, 1100, that makes sense for 360 hertz, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like I said, I'm not like an esports player, so I don't think that I would ever get one, right?
Yeah, and then a 4K 240 panel?
Yeah.
Talking about 4K, as well?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Like, what do you have to run? What do you... I guess you're playing probably an esports title.
You're playing an esports title with alt shaders.
4K with, yeah, and a high performance card, yeah.
Paul said, Asus said at CES their goal is 1,000 hertz in the next 5 years. Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. That's just... imagine 1,000 hertz in like...
Right, I can't imagine what it would what it'll be like, but knowing what it feels like to go from 60 to 144,
yeah,
personally, like, okay.
Yeah, and then my friend Corey, he said he needs to get a computer built. Yeah, man, I saw your text a while ago. That was when I was moving, so I have to get back to you on that. But we will, we'll get you a computer built here for sure. So after that, we have some more controversy from Western Digital. This is kind of your realm of things because you're an avid buyer of WD Red drives.
Well, I've all my gear is filled up, so I haven't bought drives in a while, which is kind of nice. I haven't been spending that money.
So we talked about it on the podcast
a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
so correct me if I'm wrong. They were packaging WD Red drives that were not CMR, correct?
Right, they're SMR. Right, yeah. And kind of being misleading on...
Can you explain to everybody here the difference between SMR,
SMR and CMR? I mean, to get to its very basics, like your shingle SMR is for shingled magnetic recording. CMR is conventional. So your conventional essentially is going to be better with your random reads and writes and the performance you get out of that. Shingled is more towards like your typical writes would be something like an NVR drive for like video recording, because you're just writing a straight file, just constantly writing and essentially in order. So your performance differences are going to be seen there with your random reads and writes between SMR and CMR. The Red series is set up for NAS devices, so you're going to want a little better performance on those reads and writes when they're random there. So really it was just kind of misleading that
because they Western were all Digital was doing,
because they're all packaged the same, and depending on the size of drive and capacity, you were getting one technology or the other.
So that was the kind of misleading thing. So now they've rebranded their drive. So you have WD, just plain WD Red, which is kind of small business and home users, what they say. Those are SMR.
Yep.
And then you have WD Red Plus, which again is like small business, more intensive workloads. Those are CMR. And then you have a WD Red Pro, which is for big business, which are also CMR.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, I guess they were kind of forced to do this based on everything. I'm still interested. There is a class action going on for it. So I don't know. And I could see that being quite big because tons of businesses use these drives, right?
Sure.
I would say it's more than say like a hard drive of like a normal home user would say?
I don't know. I mean, you're going to see these in like where you're really going to see these are your small businesses, small to medium sized businesses that are rolling out maybe their own white box servers or expanding a server and they don't want to pay Dell for a new storage drive. Right. So they're just going to get a WD Red or something. Or, you know, if they're rolling out a NAS and they're putting Reds in there because they're designed for NAS, right? Larger businesses are probably going to be using enterprise level drives. And on those, you're not even going to be, you know, talking about SMR unless you really like requested it, actually, in most cases. Unless you're like someone like Backblaze and they just buy whatever hard drives they can get and just use them all in these huge arrays, right? And so we get those kind of performance numbers and longevity numbers, which is kind of nice. But yeah, so I don't know like where the class action is going to come from, whether it's going to be business customers mostly or residential personal stuff. I have a feeling it'll be a mix.
Yeah. Old man said he has four terabyte red drives. They're all older drives. None of them are SMR. Yeah, I think it was just recently. I think that when they made that change was only
I don't think it was super long, and it was only on certain capacities. I think it was 8 or below 8 on those is where it really affected it. Okay. So like the older 8 terabyte drives, like the ones I utilize are CMR, but some of those smaller ones were SMR there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he said it could take a week to rebuild an array if it's an SMR drive. Yeah, depending on your capacity and everything. Believe it.
Yeah, that does not sound fun at all. No,
well, and if you've got a dead drive, right, especially if you're in RAID 5 or something, you got one drive dead and you're just chugging through that and taking that long, the chances of another drive going bad in that,
yeah, and that's
gonna be horrible. Yeah,
yeah. So well, we'll move on from that to some pretty awesome kind of, what would you call this? A promotion that MSI is doing. They are giving away up to $300 in Steam wallet codes if you buy specific products of theirs. This promotion is starting today, July 1st, and going to August 31st. And I don't know if it's just because of like maybe what's going on and people aren't buying hardware, but I haven't really seen, besides graphics cards, we always get like an incentive to buy a graphics card.
Yeah.
Or like a thing with a, you know, a graphics card in it, but like these are pretty big Steam, like the start, well, the lowest one is $50, but I mean you can get up to a $300 credit, a Steam wallet code.
I saw that number and I was like, wow, $300, like what am I buying to get $300? And then you look at it, it's like, okay, a gaming desktop plus a monitor and a gaming chair, and they'll give me $300. So okay, I mean, you're spending $2,000 at a minimum, probably.
Yeah, but again, if you're like, if it's upgrade time, this is a good incentive to go the MSI way, wouldn't it be? Yeah. So if you buy a gaming desktop, you get $100 Steam code. If you buy an esports monitor, you get $50. If you're getting a desktop plus a gaming chair, $130. A desktop plus a monitor, $200. I think that's like the bread and butter. That's would be like
right there.
If you buy one of their gaming desktops plus one of their monitors, you get a $200 Steam code. That's pretty much 4 AAA titles.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course it's
three.
Yeah, three. And then of course, you know, gaming desktop, gaming monitor, and a gaming chair, you get $300. On the page, it actually shows you. Let's go down here. Yeah, like what you can get, you know, like the combos and all of that. But again, if you're like getting a whole new setup, which I think, you know, people do, this would be a great thing. And the thing is too, is like, okay, yeah, like I don't know if I want a gaming chair, but then you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna be spending $300 on games, you know, after I get this. Why don't I get the chair and get the game for free, or vice versa, or, you know, so a pretty good deal. I've never seen this with anything. We only see it with graphics cards.
Right. Usually like it's either a code for a certain game or a couple games.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. that MSI is going ahead and do that. So yeah, and we have the link in the article if you guys want to check out their promotion page for that. So definitely check that out. The Crysis Remastered gameplay trailer, it's not live anymore. So the gameplay trailer was supposed to come out today.
I heard they're looking at redoing some of the game because of the response.
Yeah, so you know, obviously if you look at our page, like we had it up because it was supposed to premiere. You know, it's not here anymore. I don't believe that if you even go to the I can't go to their actual page from here, but it's not there. Now, what I did see after I wrote this article is that there were screenshots on the Windows store page for this, and the game did not look very good. At least to me, it just looked like the old game. You know, it didn't look like it was using a new engine. It didn't look like it was a new game or a new iteration of the game. It just looked like it was...
Here's the same game on a nicer monitor and...
Yeah, here's the same game with 4K support, maybe.
Right.
You know, I was pretty excited for this. After seeing the screenshots, I felt like I was back in whenever the game came out. When did the game come out? I don't know. But whenever it came out, that's kind of what I felt like. So we'll see on this, but I think it is EA, and maybe they thought they could just again make
pull
the game
another one over on us.
Make the game compatible with 4K screens and maybe up some textures or something. But it's they pulled it. The game's supposed to come out. What time is it? The game's supposed to come out in July? Yeah, a couple weeks. So they don't have a whole lot of time. So if we see something beyond what we've seen, we'll definitely let you guys know on that one. Cyberpunk 2077. Some new info has come out on that game. I don't know if you saw, Ryan. We didn't post about it, but the new screenshots of this game.
I watched some gameplay. There was like an hour long, maybe.
Yeah.
Gameplay video, and I watched a little bit of it, and then I was watching some other clips. I was not impressed.
Okay, so the new screenshots, which again are ray traced in 4K, they might be 8K. I don't remember, but
wow,
they're obviously from a very powerful computer. Make the game look excellent.
Okay.
Obviously, what you're going to get is based on
what you got. Yeah.
What you got. But talking, one of the designers of the game talking with PC Games Network said that the game will have a GTA mode or a Grand Theft Auto mode where you can basically go on a rampage like you would on Grand Theft Auto. You start killing people, they start coming after you.
Yep.
You know, that's exciting for a lot of people. Sometimes you just want a game. You just want to go around and shoot a bunch.
Just want to run around and shoot some shit up. Yep.
Yeah. You've had a bad day at work. You come home and you kill people in your game. Don't go back to work and do it.
Obviously.
But yeah, he said that, you know, you based on the options that you'll get in the game, you might not want to do that. But it's pretty cool that it will have that mode. I like games that are kind of like an open thing. You don't have to go through and do everything. You kind of have a lot of choice, so that's exciting. I think I will get this game. It does look good, but I'll have to, you know, it comes out in November, so we got a lot of time.
Before
that happens. So if we do, we should both get it and do if we can co-op or something.
We'll see. We
thought about doing that for Borderlands and then it never happened. So
did we?
So yeah, I think I talked about it and then we just
I'm not a Borderlands big fan. So
yeah, so
I wish it would have happened for Division 2, right? Like I was super excited for that.
You were into that.
Just kind of fell off.
Yeah. We'll have to do that with some big launch. I don't know what it would be, but we'll do it.
Maybe this.
Also talking about games, it is officially summer, and that means Steam Summer Sale, where you buy games that you'll never play.
Yep.
Which Borderlands 3 is on there. So there's a ton of games, ton are on sale. If you just go open up Steam or go to the Steam website, you'll see all the games. I haven't really looked at it that much. I don't have Destiny, but I have Terraria, and I have Borderlands 3, and I have a bunch of games that I'll never play.
I'm surprised that like Destiny 2 was free for so long on the Blizzard store, right? Wasn't it? In Battle.net?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's where I got it. I ended up with it for free for some.
I think you got it with your graphics card.
No.
Oh.
I feel like it was 2070? Free. Nope. I don't think so.
Well, in any case, summer sale. I haven't even looked, honestly.
I haven't either. Paul says he's always down to play some games on stream, though, so we'll need to coordinate that and make that
happen. Let's see what deals are coming out right now. Sims 4, which has been out for 27 years, is $20, which is said to be 50% off. Planet Zoo. Red Dead Redemption 2 is 20% off, $47.99. Let's see. Half of these
KSP.
Games, Far Cry 5. 75% off.
Yeah.
Got
some Witcher down there.
Yeah, Witcher, Street Fighter. I mean, there are a ton of games. Sim Airport, that actually sounds fun.
I know I got a bunch of, or a couple emails are like, 10 games on your wish list are on sale.
Yeah, I love Sim games. I might have to get this Sim Airport right here. Castle Crashers, that's a great game. Everybody should have this game.
I have it, but I don't think I've ever played it.
Oh, you should get it. But yeah, there's a ton on there. Is this Master Chief Collection?
That Jedi game is on there, right? Dead by Daylight, I've heard that's really good.
Yeah. Jedi Fallen Order is awesome.
Sea of Thieves. It's not discounted, it's just $40.
Yeah, I don't know why those are
Doom Eternal's on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of cool games. Check it out. It's always good to just we always say this and we always make the joke about not playing games, but it is good to have like a good amount of games, I feel, because there's times that you're just like, I want to just not play this multiplayer competitive game, or I just want to sit and like build my city in the sim game, or, you know, I do have a good amount of games. I might have to go through this and just pick a couple up just to, on the days that I don't want to play Apex, which is not very many, but yeah, guys, Steam Summer Sale, definitely. And they have this thing where you get like, if you buy a game, you get like points and then you can use those for something. I don't know how they do that, but
yeah, they're always doing crazy stuff with all their contests and giveaway or their sales.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of fun. So that is it as far as news this week, guys. Again, get your Steam games. Not a whole lot going on, but we will have some stuff coming up for you next week. I know I've been trying to get the review done, but I've been trying to learn more about audio as I do this, because I think that's the way I should do this review. So I have been taking a look at the Sound Blaster X3, which is looks like they're having a big sale on these. But it is an external sound card, DAC and amp. It features a Super X5 technology. This is a great product for people who are on laptops, who can't install a physical card, or somebody who just wants better audio. So I'm going to have that for you guys. Ryan will be taking a look at an MMO gaming mouse from Corsair.
Yep.
If our page ever loads here, I don't know what it's doing. So we'll skip to the next one. I'm taking a look at some DDR from HP.
All right.
Surprisingly. So HP, they have kind of forayed. They've gone into some of like the more enthusiast space. We took a look at one of their SSDs, which was actually really good for what it was. It's just branded as HP, so nobody will probably buy it. Now they have this V6 DDR4 memory, which has good timings. It's offered in a bunch of different capacities. We have a 16 gigabyte kit, 3200 megahertz. It goes up to 3600 megahertz. It looks good, actually, too. Like, I have them here. They look nice. I think they're doing some good stuff, and I think, obviously, they'll use this in their gaming desktops, but these are going to be available. Like, you can buy them on Newegg, and you can buy them on Amazon right now.
What I always find with these, like, HP, and I've seen it with someone else, where they get into that market, but their price is just way too high for what they're, like, you compare it to the other, like, popular gaming brands, and it always seems like they're in, don't know, this other corporate world, it feels like, where they're charging more than it should be. So hopefully that's not the case here.
Yeah, they had that
problem. I'm trying to think of who that was.
They were one of them where like they didn't compete.
Maybe it was Lexar. Didn't you look at a Lexar drive a little while ago?
Yeah, the Lexar drive was the same thing. It didn't, on price, it didn't compete. Right, and you have that a lot of times too. And for right now, like with one, there's supply and demand for stuff. So people don't know how to price stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of things going on with price right now. But yeah, I would hope. I haven't looked at the price of those right now. But we'll see if again, I think when I reviewed the SSD, it performed well and it was priced to compete with all the other drives, which I really liked. Now, again, are you going to buy a HP over a Corsair? If you're an enthusiast, I don't think so. I think maybe in 5 years, if they continue to put out good products, you might consider it, right? And as being as big as they are, if they could compete really well on price, I think that they could be a player, but they just haven't.
Yeah, I mean, they buy so much RAM from, you know, Micron or whoever the case may be for just their standard desktops and all that. So their access to pricing may be better than some of the enthusiast brands.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will, like I said, I'll have that for you guys next week. And then Ryan, we finally got the page up. We'll be taking a look at the Scimitar RGB Elite, which is a follow-up from their Scimitar Pro. And this is an MMO mouse. And the cool thing about it is that it has
so many
buttons on the sides for all of your macros, all of your spells, all of your whatever.
Thumb will get a workout for sure.
Yeah. And what's cool is that this thumb plate can be moved back and forth. It slides. Yep. So you've been playing some WoW with this.
Yep.
So we'll have that review for you guys as well. Of course, when we come, you know, to the end of the podcast, we talk about if we've done anything. Have you done anything, watched anything you would suggest people to watch?
No, honestly, like yesterday I was cleaning out some of my, not cleaning out, but organizing and finding some components, since we're actually going to be on, I'll just bring it up now, the Home Gadget Geeks podcast tomorrow evening.
We will be there.
We're going to be talking about PC cooling. So, you know, talking about fans, cases, and like airflow through them, your heat sinks and liquid cooling and things like that. So I was pulling out, like, I have a table next to me with like, there's probably 12 heat sinks on it and a bunch of water cooling components, and I got a bunch of AIOs just so we can kind of talk about
them. Am I supposed to be doing this?
If you want, you can.
I think I was never briefed on what we were talking about. So
well, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, I guess I should bust out some of my stuff.
You got parts.
Yeah, I mean, I have some stuff. But yeah, so we will be on our Home Gadget Geeks podcast tomorrow at what, the same time as this, right?
Now I have to remember. 8 o'clock.
Central. Man, it's like way past my bedtime.
Well, whatever. It's, yeah, and they're at theaverageguy.tv/live. You can catch that.
Yeah, and we do have that linked in our show notes. I finally connected the keyboard. This keyboard.
Oh, yeah, I saw. Is that the? That's the one that's, you just got, right?
Yeah. So nice. I got it. This is the IQNX F96, which is probably my favorite keyboard ever. And I got it to review. Absolutely loved it. I just wasn't the biggest fan of the color wave that they sent me.
Because you had like the blue and white and orange?
Yeah.
Right?
I sure had it. It's over there in the box. But yeah. And I was like, I had told Kayla about it. And she surprised me and bought the exact one. She like went on their website and told like the customer service, like, here's the review, this is the exact one I want, but just with a different color. And I finally have it, and I actually took it out of the box. Well, I took it out of the box when I got it, but I haven't actually like plugged it in. So I plugged it in today. It just feels so good. Like, I was reviewing that HyperX keyboard,
yep,
and going from ABS keycaps to PBT is like night and day.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. I love that this is a full size keyboard, but it's about the size of a 10 keyless too. I love the color. It's so heavy. It's all aluminum. Like, I love this keyboard. So yeah, so that's pretty much it. I'm trying to think. I was away in the middle of nowhere, which was kind of nice.
Yeah,
you were. This past weekend we went to middle of PA. Oh, not middle, but sort of close to the middle of PA to basically Amish country and stayed in a cabin, no Wi-Fi.
Had you stayed at that cabin before?
Yeah, we had stayed there last year. We found the cabin on Airbnb and we loved it so much. That there's like a little town there that has like the coolest coffee shop. Like it's just like a one road little town, you know.
You had some pictures on your social. It was really cool looking.
Yeah, it's just the coolest place. You're like just out in the middle of nowhere. Had a campfire every night, you know, it was just to relax. It was really nice. And especially obviously with what's going on, it's good to get away from people, I would say. Yeah. So I did that. No real tech related things there, obviously. I'm trying to think if I did anything else. I did buy a capture card.
Yeah.
I saw a video on a really cheap capture card, a USB one. And I haven't even taken it out of the box, so I can't.
Yeah, so I watched Epos Vox's video on that when it first came out, and I had one in my, and actually I ordered it, and then I canceled the order because I was like, no, I'm going to stick with Canon, and I'm not going to do HDMI out. I'm just do their USB utility. So I canceled it. I wish I would have bought it anyways because they're so cheap. But Mike, who is Uyghur Tech, who is on Home Gadget Geeks, he got one and put up a test video in their Discord yesterday or the day before, and it looked great. Like he shot it with his DSLR. I mean, he said it worked awesome. It's amazing. Like Elgato's probably like, oh man, we've been charging how much for these things?
Four times as much. Yeah.
I think or like they've been charging that, and that's probably a fair price. Now people have figured out how to do it for much cheaper. And
yeah.
Who knows what their reliability would be.
Yeah, so I'm excited to do that. Obviously, like I said, I do want to replace this with a better camera. Also, Paul said that he has a headset review just about ready. He's been working on this headset he was super impressed because it's, again, very low cost, but very good to high quality.
Cool.
So we'll have that for you guys too. So we are going to end things here. Of course, every Wednesday after our podcast, we do some gaming. So we'll be jumping on Apex Legends on our Twitch channel, which I'll bring up for you guys, everybody in the live chat, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Yep. You can watch us try to get a win tonight. We'll see. Ryan was on the stream last night and he was doing really bad. So hopefully if I play, hope he might get a little bit better. But we'll be jumping on there probably in about 10, 15 minutes. Yep. So definitely just head on over there. We'll be on there very soon and we'll game for a couple hours and just hang out. And of course, if you guys want to hang out in our Discord and chat with us, make fun of us or whatever, you guys can go ahead and do that as well. But until next week, we will catch you guys later.